Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. What's the best meal you've ever had in your life? Was it, okay, mac and cheese? All right. We won't go around the whole sanctuary and ask, but... So, is it something, you know, is it some sort of like homey, comforting food like mac and cheese that just seems like it fills you up and warms you up from the inside out? Was it some sort of just incredible five-star experience in a great restaurant, a feast beyond your ability to imagine? Was it a moment when it was less about the food and more about the people gathered around the table, or the gratitude stirred up in your heart by it? I thought about this question a little bit and went back and forth about what my answer would be if you really pressed me to pick just one thing. But I kept coming back around to one very specific experience back in 2006. So this was in the midst of my semester that I spent in West Africa, and I was traveling with some friends up from Ghana, where we were studying at, to a country called Mali. Most of Mali is covered by the Sahara Desert, and we were on our way quite literally to Timbuktu, if for no other reason than to say that, you know, we'd literally been to Timbuktu. Now, as you can imagine, the process of trying to get there was, you know, it was not as simple as just, you know, showing up at the bus station or the airport and getting a comfortable ticket to go straight to where you were headed on, you know, smooth, well-maintained roads or an easy, quick flight. Now, this is like multiple days of travel through 110 degree plus environments in the backs of like vans and trucks that had three times as many people in them as would have been allowed under the law in the US and the like. And so on one leg of our trip, it was, again, 112 degrees in the shade, in the desert, sunny, dust in the air because it was the dry season. And we were, along with, you know, two dozen of our newest friends, crammed into kind of the back area of like a little like small delivery truck size type item, seated on the floor, no chairs, benches, anything, us and our stuff and two dozen other people and their stuff, no windows, baking in the heat. Like, it was hot. There, like, it was so hot that we had bought, you know, big bottles of water before we got on that were cold when we got on, that within an hour were not just, were hot, and within 2 hours had started to smell. Like, the water had, like, gone funky that fast. So anytime we, like, made a quick stop in a town and they opened the back door and there'd be a rush of, like, cool 110 degree air, you know, in a breeze there, you know, it felt glorious. So finally, after 3 hours, we get to this city called Mopti in Mali, where we are headed to. So they open the back, we all go to get out. I stand up and worried momentarily that I was going to pass out and fall out of the back of the van. But we get out, and there is a hotel with a restaurant, like, literally right where we have stopped. And we're like, we're going there. So we go and we sit out of the sun. There's a ceiling fan on. There's a breeze coming in. We're right by the Niger River. So there's a nice breeze coming off the water. And I cannot tell you what we ate. I can certainly tell you that I drank about 2 liters of water over the course of the next 40 minutes. But I remember that meal being incredible. I remember there was fish. There was fish from the river and water. And it was probably the most satisfying meal that I've ever had. Because I sat down at that table actively worried that I was going to pass out and fall over. And by the time we left, I felt like a human again. These are the basics of life. Clean water. Food. You know, a place to get out of the elements. You know, like we talk, the whole pyramid of needs thing. Like, these are the things at the base, right there. And those are the things that we so often take for granted, right? Until suddenly, it doesn't seem like we've got it. We take for granted that we'll have a roof over our head until suddenly we have reason to worry that maybe we won't. We take for granted that we'll have enough to eat until suddenly we worry if we're going to be able to pay for the groceries this month. We take for granted clean drinking water until suddenly the reports start showing up about the contaminated well or, you know, the mandatory boil order in town. We take for granted that the food and water will not just be there, but be nourishing until suddenly you don't feel like you can buy a bag of salad at the store without worrying about what might happen if it's one of those ones that's tainted. No wonder the Israelites start getting antsy. It's tempting to just go off on the Israelites in this story and numerous similar ones in their time in the wilderness about whining and complaining and being difficult to manage. And certainly, they don't come across as the best versions of themselves in this story. God, it would have been better if we had just like died in Egypt than come out here to be hungry in the desert. But they're hungry in the desert. They don't know where their food is going to come from. They've never done this before. They've never had the experience in living memory of stepping out of slavery in Egypt into the unknown. This is a first of having to sort out where their next meal is going to come from. And they're in a dry and barren land without loads of food sitting around to eat, without abundant sources of clean drinking water. I'd get a little anxious too about where my meal is going to come from. And the reality of it for all of us is that anxiety, a sense of deprivation, doesn't bring out the best in any of us most of the time, does it? Well, say, like, if you are the kind of person who gets hangry, there is good news for you today in this story. Because the good news here is that in the wilderness, God provides. On this journey from slavery into freedom, in the least hospitable of places, the kind of place that makes those Israelites ask questions about whether or not they'll be able to eat, whether they're going to starve to death in the desert, whether there's going to be enough water to go around. In the midst of all of that, God provides. When they cry out and say, we don't know how we're going to feed ourselves, God provides. God shows up at the end of chapter 15. And brings forth water from a rock to slake the thirst of these hundreds of thousands of people. Here in chapter 16, God begins a 40-year raining down of bread from heaven. This mysterious substance known to us today as manna. Because when the Israelites looked at it, they went, Mana, what is it? And the name stuck. 4 decades, they wander in the wilderness, and for 4 decades, God provides. God gives them that bread in the wilderness each day, enough for the people. Not enough to hoard, not enough to save up and resell and make your fortune to the person who didn't gather enough, not enough to where some had plenty and some without, enough for all to be fed according to what they needed, to be provided for that day, and to be able to go back out the next and gather again what they needed in order to keep going, to survive and keep following where God leads. God provides. When we talk about freedom, when we talk about freedom to follow where Jesus is leading, it does not look like us being on our own. It does not look like you or I being off in the wilderness by ourselves having to make a way. It looks like all of us together here walking with a God who does not abandon us. No matter how difficult the times might seem, no matter how dry the desert around us may look, we walk with a God who provides abundance with generosity, who opens our eyes to new and wondrous things around us of God's own making, and invites us to discover in the gathering and the sharing of what God has provided grace and mercy sufficient for each day, in, with, and under that which God has given us. God provides. But you don't have to just take my word for it today. Because each and every time that we gather here in worship, we come to a table of God's own providing. We come to a feast of bread come down from heaven for us, of food laid out to fill us, to feed us with that which we cannot provide for ourselves, to meet us in this meal with grace and mercy beyond our ability to just conjure up on our own, produce by our effort, or whip up by ourselves in the kitchen. No, this meal, this manna that meets us here, what is it? Nothing less than Christ's own life present for us to feed us and sustain us in ways that we can only begin to imagine, to provide for us on that deep level that no mere bread or wine can do for us on its own. Because God provides. God looks at us here in our own wilderness journey through life, us, God's faithful people, gathered together, called, brought through the sea to the other shore. And God says, I will give them bread for the journey. I will lead them and guide them along the way and make sure they've got what it is that they need to keep on following. Grace sufficient for each day. So today, as we gather around this feast, as we gather around this meal that God provides, where there is space for all of us, for all of God's people, remember that it is enough. What God lays out here. It is enough for whatever the day might bring. It is enough for wherever you might be. It is enough to open our eyes, to transform us, and help us to realize God's living presence here with us so that we might continue to follow and look around and discover again and anew the amazing abundance of God's grace and mercy, and find new ways to gather up that manna and share it with one another. Because even here, in this wilderness that we call life, where not every day comes complete with a nice, slow, soaking rain, and sometimes we might wonder If we've been brought out here just to die in the wilderness, look around. Because God provides the grace and mercy, every needful thing in abundance, so that we might keep on following as God leads us into the life that God has promised. Because God provides. Amen.